Life Talk Radio presents Health and Longevity, the program dedicated to bringing you cutting-edge information and interviews that can change your life. On each edition, nutritionist, registered dietitian, and board-certified anti-aging health practitioner, Dr. John Westerdahl, will show you how to achieve a longer, healthier life using the latest breakthroughs in nutrition, wellness, and lifestyle medicine. And now, here's your host, Dr. John Westerdahl.
Welcome to Health and Longevity. I'm Dr. John Westerdahl. On today's program, we will discuss the secrets of longevity with our special featured guest, Dr. Ellsworth Wareham, MD. Dr. Wareham is a famous 98-year-old cardiothoracic surgeon who continued actively assisting in surgery to the age of 95 when he retired. Dr. Wareham is an outspoken advocate on a healthy lifestyle and will tell us about his healthy vegan diet and share with us his secrets to health and longevity. But before we get into today's exciting topic, let's hear the latest research and news affecting our health and longevity today.
Dr. Westerdahl presents the Health and Longevity News and Research Update, bringing you the most pertinent and important information about your health and longevity.
High-fat dairy intake is linked to mortality. Women who consumed the most high-fat dairy products were more likely to die during a 12-year follow-up compared with those who consumed the least, according to a new study published by the National Cancer Institute. Researchers followed 1,893 women who had previously been treated for early-stage breast cancer as part of the Life After Cancer Epidemiology Study. They found that the participants who consumed one or more servings of high-fat dairy products per day, compared with none or less than half a serving, were at a 64% increased risk of dying and 44% increased risk of dying from breast cancer. Well, here's a study that shows that choline improves memory and attention in rodents. In a collaboration between scientists at the University of Granada in Spain, Venezuela's Simón Bolívar University, and the University of York in England, a benefit for the B vitamin choline on attention and memory has been demonstrated in research involving rats. In an initial experiment, scientists gave pregnant rats a standard diet, a diet enriched with choline, or a choline-deficient diet. 10 of the animal's offspring were selected from each group upon reaching adulthood and tested for memory retention. While all the animals were able to remember an object 24 hours after it was shown to them, those born to mothers who received extra choline during pregnancy were better able to recognize the object after 48 hours than animals born to mothers given a standard diet. Rats born to mothers provided with diets deficient in choline were unable to remember the object after 2 days, indicating a deleterious effect for prenatal choline deficiency on long-term memory. In another experiment, rats were given a diet supplemented with choline or an unsupplemented diet for 12 weeks prior to undergoing tests for attention. Rats that received the choline-enriched diet maintained better attention than the control group when presented a familiar stimulus and demonstrated an improvement in learning. The research was reported in the journal Behavioral Brain Research. These findings suggest that supplemental choline can play an important role in prenatal nutrition. However, further studies need to be confirmed on the vitamin's benefit. Well, vitamin supplementation is mainly required for vitamin B12 for those who follow a vegan diet. The United States government actually recommends vitamin B12 for everyone over age 50. However, it is prudent for everyone, regardless of age, to take vitamin B12. Drugstores and health food stores sell vitamin B12 supplements, as well as B-complex, which is a mixture of B vitamins, which includes vitamin B12. All typical brands have more than the 2.4 micrograms adults need, and there is no toxicity from higher amounts. Fortified breakfast cereals, fortified soy milk, and fortified vegetarian meat substitutes often supply the vitamin as well. Here are two interesting vegetarian facts. Non-vegetarian women have a 93% increased risk of developing diabetes compared to vegetarian women. And in the United States, the direct medical costs attributed to meat consumption is estimated to be between $30 and $60 billion annually. We'll be right back after this short break.
Would you like to live a happier, healthier, and longer fulfilled life? Then visit us at healthandlongevityradio.com. That's one word, healthandlongevityradio.com. There you'll find valuable information and resources that can help you achieve optimal health and give you the secrets to longevity. Visit us today at healthandlongevityradio.com. Once again, that's healthandlongevityradio.com. It could change your life.
Welcome back to Health and Longevity. Do you have questions about nutrition, health, or longevity? This is your chance to have them answered. On each program, Dr. Westerdahl will choose a key question from our listening audience and respond to it on the air. Due to the high volume of emails, Dr. Westerdahl cannot personally answer each question on our broadcast. If you would like to submit a question, please go to our website, healthandlongevityradio.com. Once there, you will see a button to submit your questions. And now, the question of the day.
And our question for today is, can I cure myself by thinking positive thoughts? Well, first of all, you should never neglect whatever physical cures exist for a health problem. Giving up smoking, watching your weight, getting regular exercise, taking medication, and having good medical care, all of these are very important. But in addition, keep an eye on your attitude. As King Solomon said, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones, Proverbs 17:22. And the Apostle Paul adds, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things, Philippians 4:8. Yes, positive thinking can play an important part in your health and healing.
And now, Health and Longevity's special feature, where Dr. Westerdahl interviews leading experts and personalities on vital topics important to your health and longevity.
And our special guest today on Health and Longevity is Dr. Ellsworth Wareham, MD. Dr. Wareham is 98-year-old cardiothoracic surgeon who continued actively assisting in surgery to the age of 95. He was formerly chief of cardiothoracic surgery at Loma Linda University Medical Center in Loma Linda, California. And Dr. Wareham is an outspoken advocate for a healthy lifestyle. He follows a vegan diet, and today he'll share with us his secrets to health and longevity. Well, Dr. Wareham, thank you so much for being with us today.
It's a pleasure to be with you. Thank you.
I think a lot of people, first of all, let's get a little bit acquainted. Tell us a little bit about your background growing up and so forth, and how you eventually decided to go into the field of medicine.
Well, I grew up on a farm up in Alberta, Canada, and I had a definite impression, very strong impression, that I should take medicine. There are people that had been in school that had gone ahead of me that had taken medicine, people that I was associated with in college. So I had some idea about what the medical course was about. But I felt that it was definitely something I should go into, and I never questioned that in my experience.
And where did you go to medical school?
I went to medical school at Loma Linda here.
Okay. And I want to mention that Loma Linda, California, you know, here on Health and Longevity, we talk about the different aspects of health and longevity and anti-aging and a lot of these different things. And when I have the opportunity to meet someone like you, I want to know a little bit about what are the things they're doing to keep so healthy and contribute to their longevity. And in Loma Linda, California is a very unique community because it has been identified through people from National Geographic as a blue zone in America. Maybe you could explain to listeners who may not be familiar with Loma Linda a little bit about Loma Linda and the whole thing about blue zones, because blue zones is an area where people say people live exceptionally healthier and longer lives?
Well, the Blue Zones book was written by Dan Buettner of Geographic, National Geographic, as you've mentioned. And these are places where people were found to have many folks that were over 100 years of age and people that were known for their longevity. The places which he mentioned were Okinawa, Sardinia, and Costa Rica, and Loma Linda. Now, the reason why he picked out Loma Linda is because that's a center of Adventists. There are quite a few here, a population of 22,000 in this university town, and about 50% of them are Adventists. But the reason why the Adventists came to the fore in publicity was because of a paper written by Gary Fraser of the Department of Public Health back in 19...
Dr. Warren, before we go into that, some of the listeners may not know who Seventh-day Adventists are. Maybe just explain who Seventh-day Adventists are as a group.
Well, they're a Protestant denomination that believe in the second coming of Christ, and they observe the seventh day of the week, the Sabbath, as is commanded in the fourth commandment of the Ten Commandments. And one of their platforms in the denomination is that of healthful living.
Okay. So Seventh-day Adventists follow a lot of recommendations.
Whereas health has been a prominent subject in the public media for the last few years, the Adventists have had it as part of the denomination since their formation in 1863.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, one of their pioneers, a gentleman by the name of Captain Bates, was practicing health living 20 years before the denomination was formed. In 1843, he gave up the use of meat and butter and rich pastries. And 20 years before that, he'd given up the use of tobacco. So the denomination has always had a strong emphasis on healthful living.
Okay, and then the study that you were just about to talk about?
Now, this paper was written by Gary Fraser about 12 years ago, and the title of it was 10 Years of Life, Is It a Matter of Choice? And in this, he reports their findings on studying 34,000 Adventists in California and comparing them to the regular population in California. And he found that an Adventist male who is a vegetarian will outlive a male in the regular population of California by 9.5 years. Now, that's a significant period of time. And the study, as you can see, is scientifically done when you consider you studied 34,000 people and about 50% of those are males. So that's a good sampling. Females have less advantage. An Adventist female will outlive, an Adventist vegetarian female will outlive a female in the general population of California by 6.1 years. Now, the thing that I think is so significant about this is that if you will note the other places that have longevity in Buettner's study are people that have a simple life. They're farmers. They live in, most of them, in mountainous countries. They get quite a bit of manual exercise. But they're not a cross-section of a highly developed population. Whereas in California, you're comparing people who are professional people, office workers, business people, people who carry on sedentary occupations and are confronted with the complexities of a modern civilization, you're comparing those to other people under the same circumstance. This is a cross-section, you see, of what an average developed country is like. There's nobody else to compare us to that. Now, for example, there is a, in the second edition of Buettner's book, he mentions about Greece being a long-lived country. When he talks about Greece, he's talking about a little island off the coast of Turkey that is so small you can't find it on the average map. And these people are all country people living in the mountains. They're agricultural people doing heavy manual labor. He's not talking about Athens. There are three times as many people who reach 90 on this little island as what there are in Athens. If he wants to make an accurate comparison between Greece and in California, he should go to a part of Greece that's got a modern civilization such as we have in California.
Mm-hmm.
So this study by Fraser is a very significant study. And you consider that a male will live almost 10 years longer if he's an Adventist vegetarian than a man in the average population. That's a considerable period of time.
It is. Now, you have followed a vegetarian diet, in fact, a vegan diet, for a number of years. Tell us about your diet and how long you've been doing that.
Well, it was a gradual thing. I suppose it came on in middle life. I never was a person who cared too much for animal products. And when I found out that it wasn't necessary for my health, why, I was glad to give them up. I was greatly influenced in recent years, although I was already a vegan, by the work done by Esselstyn and Ornish. Esselstyn of the Cleveland Clinic and Ornish of the University of California in San Francisco. Now, these two people have demonstrated that they can not only arrest coronary artery disease, but they can reverse it. Now, that's a significant thing.
Yes.
When you consider that coronary disease takes one-third of the people's lives in the United States, if you can say that you can stop that disease, that's a significant thing. Now, the Cleveland Clinic is outstanding in coronary disease. They're the world's capital in coronary disease. They did the coronary angiography. The study of the coronary arteries was developed at the Cleveland Clinic. And coronary bypass grafts were developed at the Cleveland Clinic. They are unquestionably the most outstanding center in the world on coronary artery disease. And Esselstyn has been there for 35 years. He was the chief of staff and held leading positions at the hospital. And he says that, let me be clear, he says, and emphatic, coronary artery disease need not exist. And if it does, it need not progress. Well, that's a significant statement.
It really is. Now, tell us about your lifestyle and your diet.
Well, I'm a vegan. That is, I don't eat any animal products. And, of course, these days there are great substitutes for animal products. There's all sorts of these analog meats, if you care to eat them. But I usually eat legumes because they have fiber in them and they have also the protein. And, of course, I eat the fresh vegetables, you know, the leafy vegetables, which are so healthy in the antioxidants. And I don't eat desserts very often, very seldom I eat desserts. I don't eat sugar, things that are sweetened, or other things that have a high content of sugar in them. As far as my exercise is concerned, I don't have a structured form of exercise like walking or running or anything like that. I do my own yard work and mow my lawn and so forth. I also want to add that I live in a two-story house. Now, a lot of people, I don't think, are aware of the benefits of walking upstairs. There was a paper came out a little over 20 years ago out of Stanford, written by a fellow by the name of Paffenbarger.
Yes.
You're familiar with it?
Yes. I remember I met Dr. Paffenberg.
Well, you know what he said. He said, if you will climb a flight of stairs 20 times a week, that's three times a day, you see?
Yes.
That it'll reduce your chances of dying of heart disease by 46%.
Very significant.
Now, that is significant. Now, if some doctor over the corner drugstore had said that, I wouldn't have paid any attention to it. But this fellow's a Harvard graduate, and he is was at Stanford when he wrote the paper, and those are high-grade institutions. and I presume the work was carefully done. I haven't read the paper, but, you know, I've read of the paper.
Right. I wanted to get back to your diet a little bit because for those that aren't familiar with the vegan diet, I just want to clarify, that's a total vegetarian diet, which means no animal products whatsoever, including...
That's right. It differs from the average vegetarian diet, which has milk and eggs in it, which is a lacto-ovo vegetarian diet, as you know.
Right.
And now, you know, there are those that feel if they keep away from the animal fats, that they'll be protected against coronary artery disease. But these people that reversed coronary artery disease did it, you see, on a vegan diet. No milk, no eggs. Now, Colin Campbell of Cornell University in New York, I took my graduate work under an institution that were sponsored by Cornell, so I sort of in favor of that institution. But Colin Campbell says that animal proteins will raise your cholesterol as much as animal fats. Now, that's a factor that you never hear anybody discuss. But you see, when Esselstyn and Ornish decided to reduce the cholesterol and to lower the incidence of coronary disease and to reverse it, they did it, you see, on a vegan diet. Then there are no animal proteins or animal fats at all.
Yes. Now, some will say, well, yes, but you got to have dairy because of calcium. And I know you're quite outspoken about your thoughts regarding dairy products.
Well, I used to milk cows, and so it has its lack of hygienic aspects. But I shouldn't speak about that again.
No, that's okay.
But you see, a lot of people think, well, if I drink skim milk, that'll be all right. You won't lower your cholesterol if you're taking in animal protein, even if it's skim milk or the white of egg or the lean parts of meat or chicken or turkey or whatever it is. Everybody thinks you shouldn't eat meat, they mean you shouldn't eat red meat, namely beef, pork, things like that. If you have some chicken, that's all right, or a little turkey, stuff like that. Incidentally, an individual of considerable prominence who's a vegan, as you know, is President Clinton, ex-President Clinton.
Yes, that's right.
That's right. Now, you know, Clinton had bypass grafts done in 2004. And then a few years later, his grafts started to close off. And they had to take, I think, and do some angioplasty and open them up. And so he got pretty serious about this business. And now, you see, it's 2013. That's 9 years after his bypass graft, and Clinton says he's feeling the best he's felt in his life. So there are some outstanding people that have latched on to this method of protecting their heart.
Let me ask you, from diet to, and let's look at this at the whole perspective of other aspects in your life and your lifestyle that you feel contribute to your health and longevity, some of the other important things to consider.
Well, I'm a Seventh-day Adventist Christian, and I think a Christian has a great sense of security. I think that's very important. And what we eat and our exercise and those sort of things are fine. But an individual has got to have peace of mind, and he's got to have, a tranquility in his life, I think, for him to take and be healthy. An individual who's a Christian, as I say, has the ultimate security. He feels his life is God-directed in this world, and he believes that when this life is over, he'll go to a better one. That's a great assurance. An individual who is a true Christian and really believes in what the Bible teaches will not be worrying. Christ dwelt upon that matter of the not worrying, and the Apostle Paul makes it very clear that we shouldn't be anxious about anything, and he says in one place, in everything give thanks. That means even the adverse factors that come into your life, Our lives are God-directed, and we accept them as they come.
And that, of course, the spiritual aspect plays an important role in stress management, handling all the stresses of day-to-day life.
That's right.
Okay. Any other things you'd like to share with our listening audience as far as really enjoying total health and longevity and some of the things that you've experienced?
One of the things that I'd like to stress is that one can change. Just because you have habit patterns doesn't mean they have to continue. There was an article appeared in the Wall Street Journal about taste. It was over a year ago. And it made this statement: all tastes are acquired except for breast milk. In other words, all your tastes are acquired, and you can change your taste buds. A lot of people think, well, this is the way I've been eating. I can't eat any other way. Yes, you can. Within about 3 months or a little longer, you can change them, and it'll bring great rewards to your life.
Well, very good.
You start off gradually and start to eat things that are healthy, and after a while you'll enjoy them. Remember this: all tastes are acquired except for breast milk. It's the most significant article I ever read, I think, on healthful eating.
That's right. Well, Dr. Wareham, I want to thank you so much for being with us today on Health and Longevity, and I'm looking forward. You're 98 right now. And
Well, I'll be 99 in 2 months.
Oh, you're going to be 99 in 2 months. Okay. So a little over a year from now, I want to do another interview with you on your 100th birthday. Okay?
It's been fun talking to you.
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right. Bye-bye.
God bless. If you would like to listen to past shows, go to our website at healthandlongevityradio.com. Again, you go to healthandlongevityradio.com.
To learn more about the books written by our guests and books written or recommended by Dr. Westerdahl in this program, please visit our website at healthandlongevityradio.com. There you can learn how to obtain your copy of these valuable and informative books. Search each page for yourself and see how you can live a happier, healthier, and longer life. Visit us today at healthandlongevityradio.com. Once again, that's healthandlongevityradio.com.
That's all for this week. Until our next broadcast, this is Dr. John Westerdahl wishing you the best of health and longevity.
This has been Health and Longevity with Dr. John Westerdahl, a production of Life Talk Radio. Join us again next week on the same station and time for Health and Longevity. The preceding information on this program has been general information about your health and is not to be taken as professional medical advice, nor is it intended to serve as a substitute for medical attention. Do not change your diet or exercise habits without guidance from your medical doctor, especially if you have health problems or are on medication. Do not change your medications without the advice and supervision of your medical doctor. If you have a medical condition, we encourage you to seek the consultation of a medical doctor experienced in dietary change and lifestyle medicine. And as always, we wish you the best of health.